Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Maintained the most cultural significance and helped move the business forward. It's available this Wednesday, August 12th at radio.com. The Boardroom, out of office with Rich Kleiman. Listen at radio.com.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. It's back to school and I have an announcement for your children's feet. Okay, feet, this school year you need to help our children stand strong. You need to support them as they transition to a new type of environment, whether they're learning at school or learning online. They need new shoes to help give them the energy and endurance to learn, run, and play under unusual circumstances. They need New Balance shoes. They're designed specifically for younger feet with cutting-edge technology, and they come in some pretty cool colors, too. And when you shop at the New Balance Memphis store, our in-store fit experts will scan and measure your feet, resulting in a shoe that fits you perfectly. Come to the New Balance Memphis store to get the exact fit you need and help support your local store. We'll treat you right. Stop by and give us a chance to earn your business. New Balance Memphis, located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
Morning.
How'd you get in my house, B?
Through the air conditioning vent. It's dark in there.
Go away.
How about some Honey Nut Cheerios?
Cheerios. Do I look like a child to you?
Honey Nut Cheerios are tasty and can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet. Did you just
No.
I'm pretty sure I heard a
It was my dryer.
You might want to get that thing checked out.
Have a change of heart. Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. A tomorrow that says bay can, not bay can't. Where fresh eggs reign like opportunity, honey butter goodness is spread, and the frosty is chinoed. At Wendy's, we don't ask what tomorrow holds, but rather, what will you hold tomorrow? Will it be the breakfast baconator or the honey butter chicken biscuit? No matter what you choose, tomorrow's looking good.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open again and treating patients right now. And yes, they're taking precautions and following the guidelines recommended by the American Dental Association, the CDC, and the Tennessee Board of Dentistry. They have proper PPE for the team members. They are pre-screening patients the day before their appointments by phone and again in their cars before each appointment. They'll have somebody check your temperature before you enter the clinical area. Sanitizers are all over the place. They have a cleaning crew every afternoon to clean, spray, and wipe the entire office, and they are limiting the number of people in waiting rooms and clinical areas. So if you need to make an appointment, you can. So you should. The number is 901-309-1333. That's 309-1333. The Smile Center. It's open Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you can check them on the web at smilecentermemphis.com.
Go back in time with Radio.com Rewind. And just so you know, no DeLorean necessary. All you need is the Radio.com app. You can pause and rewind your favorite news and sports stations when you listen on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Take a short trip 15 seconds back, start your favorite show over, or travel a whole 24 hours back in time. Great Scott! Radio.com Rewind will change the way you listen to radio forever. Yeah, that sounds like hype, but we're serious. Check it out and time travel today. Radio.com Rewind. Plutonium optional.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're
happy. It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey. Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to even want to stay in home. And she can't tell the difference, I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I rejected. That mean my tables turn. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. Who that? Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about, don't worry about my name.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Appreciate you doing it. On this Tuesday, August 11th, and plenty going on. Got Big Ten presidents reportedly meeting this morning. Thought there actually might be, as I refresh my Twitter timeline, thought there might actually be an answer on that already. Considering pushing back, obviously, the start of the season, postponing it. Maybe they go forward after all the blowback yesterday. That should be newsy. Pac-12 presidents meeting this afternoon. We shall see what happens with that one. Also, a big, and they continue to be big, because Memphis still has this opportunity in front of them. A big seeding game for Memphis today as they try to reach the play-in against the Boston Celtics starting at 4 o'clock today. Pre-game will start right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 3:30. So we're all up for that as well. Grizzlies still obviously with a chance. A win today clinches a play-in game berth. And so there is that. So plenty to get to today. Should be another newsy day, particularly in college football. As my man John Martin joins me, sounds like from the phone, John. We got you.
Yeah, but we're having a little bit of difficulty.
It's all good, brother. We got you. We got you. We're gonna get through.
But you know what? This is 2020, man. Work from home. You're gonna encounter a little bit of resistance every now and then. So
speaking of that, speaking of 2020, I texted with you. I had a little fun this morning. I walked my son to class this morning. His first day of first grade, they're doing staggered entry. I walked him to class this morning to the dining room, which is where he'll be for the, assuming about the next 8 or 9 weeks at least, until school starts, obviously, in classroom for them. Big shout out to him starting first grade, to all the kids that are starting up. But even bigger, John, to the teachers and obviously those folks that are, you know, principals on up that are at schools trying to get this done in what's been, as you point out, a crazy 2020. So we got all that going on, too. First grade starting today.
So this pales in comparison. This little blip pales in comparison to what our parents and our families and our teachers are going through.
No doubt about it.
I just hope that we treat each other with kindness. You know what I mean? I really hope that over the next however long we're having to be, we stuck in this arrangement with the with schools and everything like that. I just hope that we choose the route of kindness and patience because, listen, we're all going through this. We're all experiencing it at the same time, and we're all stressed out. And we're all frazzled, and I just hope that in times like this, we choose the path of great understanding and empathy, right? Like that is my
profound,
hope for the school
John.
Year.
So profound that, this morning.
That is my hope for the
Thank
school
you.
Year, man. Because listen, I get it. Not everybody is starting at home.
That's
I think
true.
Most people.
Yeah.
I think most people had the option to start from home, but not everybody did. We've talked about it on the show before. My wife is stressed out. Her coworkers and colleagues are stressed out, they continue to get new information. They're told one thing, you know, on a Monday, and by Tuesday, it's a totally different.
That sounds like college football, John.
It does. It does sound like college football. You're exactly right. So we will get into that today. But that's my Chinese proverb for today, Jason.
For the school year. Gotcha.
Yeah. Hey. Let's just choose the path of kindness and patience. And I know that's easier said than done. Trust me. If anybody knows, it's me. But, you know, I just don't think we it'll serve anybody to be going off on teachers and parents and administrators, vice versa. Not in this kind of a year. It's a very unique year, and I hope that we approach it as such. We got a big show planned for you today. Looking forward to it. Barry Jones is going to join us in the next segment, and we'll talk to him about everything that's going on in college football. We await a decision from the Big Ten. They have not announced anything as of yet, correct?
I continue to push refresh and have not seen any official word yet on what was a scheduled, at least reportedly, a 9:30 Central Time start on that president's meeting.
Yeah, so we still don't have any word from the Big Ten on what their decision is going to be. It seemed like perhaps some presidents were pushing for a delay rather than just an outright cancellation, because the more people we talk to, Jason, and we'll even get Barrett's thoughts on this, the more people we talk to, it becomes pretty clear that nobody wants to do a spring season, that we've talked to at least.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it hadn't seemed to be much planning for one either. And clearly, you're working on. We just saw all these conferences release their schedule last week. I mean, that's the point the Big Ten was just at. And so right now, you're focused on the fall. But yeah, I was surprised. I've been surprised to hear sort of how there's a lot going on. Don't know if we could pull it off, and haven't looked much toward that in terms of pre-planning for that. And so it seems like right now, yes, all focus still on trying to get this thing done in the fall, and not much. If there's much thought that you could get it done in the spring. Because, again, you face a number of factors. Dr. Rudd talked about it. Television contracts notwithstanding, we got to talk about, too, when do you start the next season? You'll have these guys, that's quite a bit of play in a few months. Can it be done? There's those questions, too. Right now, we're just trying to see, for the most part, John, it feels like some of this blowback yesterday where it felt like you were right on the precipice of the Big Ten, Pac-12 announcing, hey, we're done. Feels like some of this blowback, to your point, has slowed it down. And so who knows where we are now on a spring football season. Feels for a little bit further away from that, quite frankly, than we were yesterday.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Barrett Jones about all that at 11:25. Lots to get to with him. We'll talk to him about the college football season, what the future may hold. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Ryan McDonough. He's going to join us at 125radio.com, Sports NBA Insider.
Now, did he put together this Phoenix team that's 6-0 in the bubble? Didn't he have quite a bit to do with this as their former GM?
I believe
they're
so.
They're freaking 6-0, John.
Yeah, I believe so. But, I think that the clock ran out on him.
Yeah, and I know he picked Aiden. I know he had the Aiden draft. So, but yeah, it must be. I mean, I got to ask, just personally watching this team do what it's doing right now, something that, I guess for some of us, we thought might happen a lot sooner with this Phoenix club. They are on fire, and they're certainly, to tie that back in, they're right there on the Grizzlies' tail now, just a game behind them. So there's a possibility. You heard it on TNT last night. Like, Dwayne Wade and Shaq are rooting for it. Folks want Portland and Phoenix in now, John, because of how hot that Phoenix team has been. Devin Booker against – but hopefully the Grizz will have something to say about that. We'll talk to McDonough about it.
Yeah, all that and more today on the show. But the story of sports, obviously, today is just what happens with college football. And it's so interesting to see just league to league. And I think that was one of the frustrations that, Dr. Rudd shared with us yesterday, which is that there's just no consensus. Mm-hmm. There's no clear path, in terms of what the path forward it looks like. The Pac-12 gets, according to Pete Thamel, the Pac-12 gets like this damning, sobering report about how there's a heart condition that could accompany serious COVID-19 infection. Well, then Greg Sankey goes on a radio show and says, well, our medical people say that we can proceed moving forward. We can go forward. So I think that's one of the frustrations, Jason, and why you're seeing the sort of rigidity to college football and why we haven't gotten a consensus yet, because there isn't a consensus. Conferences have their own team of medicals, their own team of advisors. We don't know what those advisors are saying. There's no transparency. And it seems like they're saying different things. Yeah. And that's why, you know, that's why this looks like a mess, because it kind of is. And I think that's probably where, Jason, the NCAA could have stepped in. And they had 6 months to think about this. They had 6 months to figure this out, appoint a task force that could speak for all conferences, because it's exactly like Rudd told us yesterday. Yes, there may be differing case numbers from region to region, but the disease is the same in the Northeast as it is in the Southeast. The effects are the exact same. We know that. So I think it was incumbent upon the NCAA to recognize, hey, this is where we can step up, we can put something together, and we can show some sort of leadership. Instead of being meek, instead of leaving it to conferences and schools individually, I mean, this is yet another failing, no question about it, of the NCAA, and I think they share a ton of the blame for what this looks like today.
Well, in the case you're talking about consensus among conferences, among schools, a lot of cases, John, there hadn't just to piggyback off that, there's not even a consensus on your own campus, where we've seen it, at least in the case of Ohio State and some others, you know, you've seen the football coach is ready to play, and reportedly the president has voted to cancel, at least from that Detroit Free Press vote we saw yesterday. Now, presidents were meeting again today. You saw the reports that they hadn't made and had an official vote. So there's back and forth on that. But at one point yesterday, everyone's believing that the Ohio State president is saying no, and your football coach is saying push forward. So to your point, you're not even on the same page at your own school in some of these situations. It's Nebraska now. Scott Frost was one who said, man, let's play. Let's fight. We got to play no matter what. Let's play. Nebraska, according to that report, was one of the schools that voted to play. So a little bit different situation there as with Ryan Day, who seemed to be going in the face of what the school and what the president had said. So you don't even have a consensus within your own school in some of these situations. The consensus, though, John, does seem to be from every, you know, you saw Saban's comments yesterday. You've seen Harbaugh's, whether it's to players to coaches, they want to go. And it was that sort of, it feels like, now, well, again, we'll see with what the Big Ten decides here, but it feels like that outpouring yesterday has slowed this thing down to whereas some of those presidents that may at one point have voted, you know, were in that 12 that voted 12-2 in the Big Ten have even pulled back here. And maybe in the case of Ohio State, you've got a situation like that. So will be interesting to see. But in this case, that consensus of player, of coach wanting to go ahead, I think they flexed their muscle a little bit yesterday, and to the at least, John, it slowed them down. Now we'll see if it ultimately, you know, accounts for what, you know, the start of a season. But right now, you know, it appears to have at least slowed those presidents down. So we shall see. There is a consensus, it feels like, among players and coaches that they want to go. That said, they're not the ones that, if these liability cases eventually do come down, you know, I heard Booger McFarland talking about this again today. The coaches and the players aren't the ones that are going to have to answer that years from now, right, if something does happen. Look, I want football. John wants football. We all want to do it as safely as possible. But my gosh, does it feel like you look one way, they're on one page. You look the next way, they're on another. The players and coaches want to go. We'll see if it's going to be enough.
Well, I mean, I think again, the idea, Jason, that this is all being hashed out and hammered out
as we go.
I mean, as late as we've gotten into the calendar, too. I mean, it's really frustrating because you feel like 2 months ago, rather than actually try to come up with thresholds and tripwires and protocols and everything like that, like college football just looked at the numbers in the United States and just assumed they would keep going down and they would keep going down. And, you know what happens when you assume, Jason.
Yes.
You know what happens when you assume. And that is what college, rather than be proactive, they just assumed that the downward trajectory would remain the same. They baked in no, new outbreaks, which was always, I think, a little bit Pollyannish, a little bit optimistic. And now they just have no. I mean, if you would have prepared everybody for the possibility that there would be college football 2 months ago, I think you're having a totally different response. Instead, you sort of just chugged along without any real plan, and now here you are. The virus is obviously rampant in this country still, And unlike the NFL, and unlike the NBA, and unlike the Major League Baseball, you know, you have amateurs. You don't pay your players. And that's why we're here. And I don't know, like, it's going to be fascinating to see what exactly. I think we all assume the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are kind of in lockstep. But then what after that? Is the SEC really going to play by itself?
Are they really going to pluck schools from other conferences? Can you legally do that? Can Nebraska go over and pluck?
I mean, we've never lived through anything like this before. It does seem like, I mean, realignment could be on the horizon again. And I don't know what that means for Memphis, for example. Like, I think Memphis is in a – I mean, if we thought Memphis was Big 12 bound in 2016, I mean, what do we think in 2020? I mean, they're even – I mean, the program is better than ever before. Because in 2016, it was all kind of speculative. It was like, yeah, Fuente had a good couple of years, but he's just one coach, and they were hiring Norvell, and it was a nice hire at the time on paper, but we had no clue how that was going to go. I mean, basketball was, relatively speaking, a little bit of a mess. Now look at the situation. I mean, your football program's coming off a New Year's Day Bowl appearance. Your basketball program's as healthy as it's been in a decade. If realignment happens again, you got to feel good about where Memphis is. So maybe that's what COVID-19 brings about. Maybe it.
You are looking deep for a silver lining, brother. Because what I'll give you is absolutely Memphis has added to its brand. It's added to its value in terms of if you're a Power Five conference looking at Memphis with what it's done, particularly with that football program. But John, I hesitate a little bit to think that it's enough. In terms of added, of course, we see it from Memphis. We see Cotton Bowl. We see this thing at its height. But I'd hesitate to say you've added enough value, at least for those guys, to be willing to split up those big $40 to $50 million payments that they've got from the media rights folks. So I'm holding on a little bit before you go there. You are digging deep for a silver. Look, if it ends up that way, that's where we all want to be. That's the promised land for Memphis, making it to Power Five. And if it's COVID that ends up opening the door, so be it. I mean, you're in, and whatever it took to get in. You know how they say it's not where you're drafted, John. It's what you did once you got there. So that would sort of apply for me here. But I just, you know, these conferences have shown us, you know, that it's, you know, they've got their individual interests, their contracts at stake, and in some cases they may be willing to go on their own. So we're really going to think that all of a sudden they're going to feel generous enough that, and Memphis has had enough value, hey, come get you $30 million from our television rights contract or whatever, or 25 or whatever it is when you add schools. I'd like to believe that. And yes, it's a nice thing to hope for, but as selfish, I'll put it that way, as money hungry as some of these conferences are, I got a hard time believing they're ready to cut you in. Would like to see it, though, and maybe COVID's the key, John. That'd be one good thing to come out of this mess.
Well, yeah, COVID is going to be like the thing that, you know, changes everything, right?
I mean, starting with the NCAA, maybe. Yeah.
Our world will never be the same. That's a line from Hamilton. I know you wouldn't know that because you didn't stick with it, but that's a big theme in Hamilton Broadway musical.
Man, how dare you act like I've got no, you know, no.
You didn't stick with Hamilton.
I went back and watched the first part again. But again, don't act like I don't have an appreciation for the arts just because Sam got y'all tickets to Hamilton and you went and saw one Broadway musical in your life. Okay.
Well, I've seen several. I've seen a Bronx Tale.
Like all of a sudden, you've got artistic.
I've seen a Bronx Tale. I've seen Wicked. I've seen the Book of Mormon. I've seen Hamilton. I wanted to see, you know, Denzel was on Broadway the last time I was in New York. Did you know that?
I was not aware. No, I was not. Look at you.
He was, I believe it was called Iceman.
All this knowledge of theater, you're now flexible.
I mean, Iceman.
This sounds like season tickets to the Orpheum, right? Is that the explanation here?
Did say the Iceman coming to the Orpheum.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but the prices, as you can imagine, are just absurd. No, I think COVID is going to, our world is never going to be the same. And where does it stop?
Man said Memphis going to get in the Power Five off COVID. Man, that's what a dream.
I mean, if there's got to be one good thing that comes out of this, right? One. Just one is all I'm asking.
Yeah,
one thing.
Because I can't give you any right now.
Well, okay, hold on. Let me ask you this. Is it a good thing that we will probably beware. Like some.
I mean, Grayson Allen shooting, is that one? Can we put the? Can we even put that on there? Small sample size of the bubble. I mean, we have to see more. Is that one good thing that's come out of this?
If it lasts, great. But we have to, it remains to be seen.
Okay. Okay. Well, go ahead.
I think a lasting social norm will be mask wearing. Not everybody's going to wear masks after COVID-19 passes, but there will be some percentage of people who, when they're feeling sick, will wear a mask. And that will actually, don't you think that will be a good thing for society?
Well, aren't they, in Asia, that's a common practice anyway, right?
Yes.
You got anything,
yes.
You're going to wear the mask. Yeah, okay, well, that increases a little bit more, but this is still America. I can't imagine that if we ever do get through this thing and there's a vaccine and all that, that a great majority or a high percentage are actually going to be wearing masks. So I'm not willing to give you that one as if there's some great change. Sure, there will be a few, but not some great, huge, sweeping change across America.
Now, you are shooting down all of my hopes now.
Well, I really think Grayson Allen might be number one. You haven't trumped it yet.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
I know, it's been tough.
Crowd.
2020 been tough. I told you, I walked my kid to school to the dining room this morning. It's been tough, dude. It's tough on all of us.
Well, I guess I'll take Grayson Allen. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing, man. I'll take it. Barrett Jones is a multiple-time national champion, played at Alabama.
Stood.
Hopefully we'll get a chance to hear him on the broadcast for college football this year on the radio station. We'll talk to him about where he's at with COVID-19 and the college football season, the state of it, and everything else. So that's going to come up when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
As rich as these SEC programs are, guys, they've been spending money like they were assured it would come in for their lifetime. That ain't the case anymore. In Alabama and Auburn, building waterfalls.
When it's 3rd and 4 and you got to make that big stop, the fact that you had the waterfall in the locker room, that's going to push you over the edge.
There's a tunnel to be built underneath Bryant Denny Stadium right now.
The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, weekdays 2 p.m. till 4 p.m., 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. It is central to the center's mission to convene discussions about current constitutional issues facing our nation so that people of all ages and perspectives can learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For the center's live programs, constitutional news, podcasts, educational resources, and online interactive constitution, visit constitutioncenter.org.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
From muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
No.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Everybody rock with me because I'm up now. Took your girl and I'm scoring like I made the touchdown. Swerving in a Lambo, doors go up, not on the bus now. Used to want a G-Shock now.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It has been a whirlwind week already in the world of college football. Barrett Jones lives in that world of college football. Usually would be gearing up for a very busy fall. Who knows what the future may hold for him this fall, and he joins us now. Barrett, what's happening, man?
What's up, guys? How we doing? Is anything happened in the world of college football over the last 48 hours?
Not much. Just
slow
your
news,
you know, average chaos, I think, is how I would sum it up. How would you sum it up, Barrett? I mean, you're somebody who played at the highest level at college football, in college football. What do you make of the last, you know, week of? I mean, I feel like we were all excited on Friday when we were getting schedules. Next thing you know, it's everybody wants to cancel or pull out. What have you made of just the last few days in college football?
Well, I would say overall, just, you know, disappointing. You know, I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, who's to blame, you know, because seemingly you look at, you know, the NBA and MLB, and look, I guess those are professional leagues, so it's a little bit different. But, I mean, they had far less time to come up with a plan, and, you know, at least at this point, have come up with a plan that's worked. And college football had several months, and it seemed like only really in the last few months that we really even tried to come up with a plan. You know, and I've seen blame being thrown all over the place. My favorite is I've seen a lot of people blame Mark Emmert, you know, the NCAA head. And look, Mark Emmert's far from perfect, but anyone who knows anything about college football understands that Mark Emmert has very little control in the world of college football. The NCAA has not crowned a national champion in college football, at least at the FBS level, for maybe ever. And so, you know, there's just so many different people that are representing different interests that I guess we really shouldn't be that surprised. I think in a lot of ways, you know, it's not like college football all of a sudden has changed a lot. It just kind of revealed some of the weaknesses that were already there. You know, and you know, from everything I'm hearing, it seems like the first thing that started a lot of this negativity was Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, essentially, you know, got the word out and with his different presidents that they probably didn't want to play, and they took a vote, and I'm sure you've heard all about that. But basically what it comes down to is like most situations like this, is, you know, there's a bunch of lawyers in a room somewhere making $300 or $400 an hour. By the way, the lawyers, they always win no matter the outcome. You know, they're over here going across worst case scenarios and who's liable for different things, and are waivers a thing. And so, you know, I what do I make? I don't know. There's just, it's such a complicated issue, and now it's almost seems like the, you know, power of the players has been thrown into it to top on everything else. And there's talk of the Players Association, and then you have the demands from the Pac-12. So I think it's more than just COVID. But again, COVID has kind of brought to light some of the issues that were already there and bubbling on the surface of college football.
Doesn't everything you just laid out, Barrett, doesn't it further underline, and you talked about the weaknesses, you touched on it, the glaring need for sort of a czar. We were talking with Dr. Rudd, the University of Memphis president, and he went back to it three or four times, just with everything, you know, people making their own decisions about whether it's, you know, presidents, conferences, whatever else. Can you get a czar that's got, you know, obviously it needs it. Will college football learn from this and sort of put that in place?
Well, I'm going to elect Jason, you know, for you to be the first czar of college football, the commissioner. I think you can handle
it. Not a good choice.
Yeah,
not a good choice. How about you? Much better choice.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I think that would be one of the most thankless jobs in America because you always have somebody mad at you.
No doubt.
Do they need that? Maybe. You know, that's been a common thing that's been said. You know, would it be as simple as one person? Or would it be more of a body? I don't know. And that's something certainly that has to be worked out. You know, it does seem like at some point the writing is on the wall, and this is more even big picture than what we're talking about, you know, for the Power Five to split off. And I think if the Power Five ever did split off and create their own, you know, conference that was only for football, you know, I think a commissioner maybe could work under that model. But, you know, now you talk about a commissioner. Do you have a commissioner of the Power Five and a commissioner of the Group of Five?
Right.
There's just so many different ins and outs that need to be worked out. But again, look, anytime there's adversity that strikes, you know, it kind of reveals leadership. And I think there has been a lack of leadership just at the issue. And, again, I'm not necessarily blaming anyone in particular. It's more just the way the system is set up. I mean, really, there's just the system not set up in a way where there is a clear leader. I mean, there's just so many voices from the CFP to the NCAA to every individual conference, and no one really listens to each other. So, you know, I don't know what the solution is. It seems like we haven't had a target, something to strive for. You know, you're seeing a lot of positive things as far as a lot of schools tweeting out their numbers of, you know, the majority of schools I've seen have had zero positive cases for the last, you know, month or so ever since the kids showed up. So they've done a good job of you know, finding the ones initially that were sick and isolating them. And so, you know, at the end of the day, the coaches want to play and the players want to play, and most of the players' parents want them to play. So it's hard for me to believe that they're not going to find a way to get this figured out. And, you know, if the Big Ten or you know, the Pac-12, by the way, I expect whatever the Big Ten does, the Pac-12 will probably do the same. If they don't play and everyone else does, can you imagine the free-for-all run on guys like Justin Fields and, you know, who want to play one more year in college football? It will be absolute madness. Now there's talk of Nebraska you know, seceding for the Big Ten for a year, playing in a different conference.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild to see the way all this is unpacked over the next few weeks. And if, you know, the Big Ten kind of walks some of this stuff back because of the strong reaction.
You know, it is fascinating, Barrett, because it does feel a little bit like a power struggle. Right, in college football, you have the presidents and the trustees and the lawyers. They're firmly, it feels like, on one side. Not every president is saying, let's go ahead and just cancel this season. I think there are some who are a little bit more pragmatic about it. Let's maybe delay it. But then on the other side, your ADs, your coaches, your players. And listen, some of these coaches, it feels like, wield more power than the presidents at some of these universities. I mean, I can name a couple. Maybe your alma mater, potentially. How do you sort of, I guess, just, you know, reconcile that when you have two sides of a university on such starkly different sides? Is there a middle ground, and do you anticipate some places being able to find it?
Well, it's a great question. It's a great point because I saw Ryan Day's comments on Twitter, I think yesterday, where he said, you know, this is not over. We're going to fight. It almost seemed like that was targeted at the, you know, Ohio State's president. So you're right that there's definitely a power struggle. A lot of these coaches are certainly higher paid than the presidents. They certainly have a lot more name recognition. And I think, you know, generally they get along as long as their interests align. But it'll be very interesting to watch the way that some of these coaches might openly declare war on their presidents and decide, you know, that maybe they feel like they can wield a bigger stick. So I don't know how it's going to all play out. It's going to be very interesting. Again, there's just so many factors. I think the frustrating thing to everyone is just that it seems like we could be having these battles, you know, like 2 months ago. Because fundamentally, nothing's really changed. The positive tests have gone up and down, and maybe a little bit, but generally things are pretty much the same as they were a few months ago. And that's the thing that I still haven't really gotten a great answer on, is even if we do push it back to the spring, what's going to be fundamentally different there? Which I think the spring season is a terrible idea that would never work, by the way. But I don't know what's going to fundamentally change, you know, in a month or 2 months. Seems like we've had plenty of time. The players are there. They're healthy. They're ready to start practicing. I think it's time to at least give it a shot.
Yeah, we're talking to Barrett Jones, who normally would be on the call for college football this upcoming season. We shall see. Hopefully we will get a chance to hear him here on ESPN Radio 92.9 during the season, national champion in Alabama. Would you play? Statistically, as an offensive lineman, the studies would suggest that you would be at a higher risk. I'm not anymore, obviously, because I know you're a much felter guy in 2020.
You're calling
not
me fat.
No.
Oh,
I'm not.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying,
wow.
I certainly
wasn't too fat to wear you out in the basketball court last season. That's all I know.
No, you're not anymore. No, you've shed a lot of that weight, Barrett. No question. You look good today,
yeah.
And you look good then. But statistically, you would have been at a higher risk of COVID-19 and potentially, you know, a serious case. Would you have considered or entertained not playing?
Look, personally, I would not. I mean, I absolutely would play. I probably would not have considered sitting out. I understand that there's a higher risk, even though from a lot of the data I've seen in that age bracket, you're talking about a very slight higher risk, not something that's super significant. But look, I would have. Again, I think that's a personal decision everyone has to make based on their family and their family history and, you know, the people that they're going to be around. But for me, it would have been no question. I would have gotten out there. And, you know, again, I think people forget, amidst all the money and all the glory and everything, why a lot of these guys play the game. They really play it because they love it, and they play it for the guy next to them. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's a lot of your motivation is, to not let your teammates down. And so I definitely would have done that. That would have been tough for me. But, look, I understand it's a tough decision, and so in no way do I want to belittle that difficulty of choice for a lot of these guys, particularly who might have something in their family history or you know, someone in their family who's unhealthy who might be more susceptible to this disease.
What's been your thoughts, Barrett, on watching guys like Trevor Lawrence sort of use their individual voice? It feels like the power of the player, they're understanding now that they've got more maybe than ever, and in a lot of cases they're using it. Your thoughts on that, and this sort of move toward unionization? Can it happen in college football?
Yeah, good questions. You know, I would say, first of all, I was very impressed with how quickly it seemed like the players were able to mobilize. I think a lot of people have kind of been waiting on this. And from what I've heard, really, it's kind of worked. You know, you've already seen some semi-walkbacks where, you know, the Big Ten was basically canceled, and now there's word that it's, you know, they're still talking about it, possible postponement, that kind of thing. And so I do think that the players speaking out in such a unified and forceful manner did have an impact on that. And yeah, as far as the union goes, look, that's another complicated issue as far as, you know, how that could work and, you know, how do you get the money to do something like that? What does that look like? And, you know, unions have lawyers and somebody has to pay those lawyers. And so who's doing that and who's, you know, interests are they really representing? That's an interesting question that is going to take a lot of debate. But it does seem like, again, with the name, image, and likeness coming down the pipe, that there's going to have to be some kind of representation for the players. Can it happen under the current model of college football without the Power Five breaking off? I'm still not so sure. And again, I love college football, and I, you know, want to preserve it as long as we can and all that's good about it, because I do think it's an incredible vehicle. I'm not, like, I've seen a lot of people, you know, lamenting the college football, saying it's over. Like, I'm not there at all. I do think change is on the horizon. I don't know exactly what that looks like. But I do think we'll see a little bit of balance where the players will have a lot more say in what's going on than they do currently, which is basically none. So I guess there's nowhere to go but up.
Your coach, Nick Saban, and others, I think Harbaugh was one of them, have said basically it's safer practicing and playing football than it is being at home and left to your own devices. Are they right on that, Barrett?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's probably a lot of angles to think about that, because in some ways it's a false choice. I do think if they didn't have football, it's not like all the players would go home. Probably a lot of them would still be at there. The facility. They'd probably still be working out in training, just not playing games. But I do think generally that players are safer at their facilities than they are at home. And obviously every situation is different, but you're talking about, I can just speak to my situation at Alabama, and we had literally some of the best medical care in the entire world, with the Andrews, Dr. Andrews and their medical group, obviously for anything surgery wise, and then a great team of doctors that would help us out. And so, and not to mention unlimited budget, that always helps. But the testing and the kind of precautions they take there at the facility, it'd be hard for me to imagine a safer environment day in and day out to be in. Maybe other than the NBA bubble, it's about as safe. I think it's maybe the second safest way you could do it, because of the amount of money they're spending on testing and tracing and isolating guys who are sick and being really careful about that kind of thing. So, yes, I do think in general players are safer at facilities than they would be if they would be at home.
We are, of course, talking to the great Barrett Jones here on the show. Barrett, should Arkansas just go ahead and opt out, just get ahead of it, and just say, you know what, we've decided that it's in the best interest of our student-athletes' health to not have to play Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Alabama, and LSU back-to-back-to-back-to-back to start the season? I think that's what I would do if I was them. It's not worth it. I'm more worried about that than COVID, to be honest.
Well, they've definitely got a tough schedule, and even their cross schedule, I can't remember the exact games off the top of my head, but the two extra games they got were no cakewalk. So they definitely, every game looks kind of tough based on what they put out there last year. Look, I love Sam Pittman, though. I think he's a tremendous coach. The players will love him. Every player who's ever played for him that I've talked to loves playing for him. So if anybody can get him turned around, it's him. Yes, it will be a tough first year. But, you know, they're probably going to be playing a lot of young guys, and those young guys will get some great experience and maybe have the potential to possibly contribute down the road and figure out what the SEC is really like. And they'll figure it out quickly, because that is a brutal-looking schedule that Arkansas has.
And real quick, Barrett, is that a deal where Pittman's got to take that job? As tough as it is, right, you think, my gosh, it could take years before you're out of the basement, and if you ever get out of it, is that one he has to take because he can always bounce back to coordinator, and you want to go ahead and tell your and give it a shot? Like, taking that gig, is that a deal you got to do if you're Pittman? Obviously, the money, we get that, but rebuilding Arkansas is hard.
It is, but I think that Sam, I think he wanted to be a head coach. I think at the end of the day,
you want to check that box.
You want to figure out if you can do it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's just he's had a lot of challenges, he's had a lot of success, and just as a competitor, you want to figure out, you know, hey, can I do this? And so it's a personal challenge. I do know he loves it in Arkansas. He loves being there.
Right.
He loves the lifestyle of that place. And it is a great place. For people who haven't been to Arkansas, it's not what you'd expect. It's a beautiful campus. A lot of people who are really passionate. It's really the only show in the state as far as there's not really a whole lot of competitors. So pretty much everyone in the state's an Arkansas fan. And when they're good, it's really a lot of fun. So I hope he can get it back right because Arkansas being good was a lot more fun. You know, I always go back to the worst thing that ever happened in Arkansas was Texas A&M joining the league. That really, in my mind, killed them recruiting-wise because they used to have such a Texas footprint where they could pull guys who wanted to play in the SEC, and now Texas A&M has really killed that. So it's always going to be tough sledding, particularly in the West for Arkansas. There's just not consistently enough players that come out of that state to probably field a great team, so you got to recruit nationally. But again, I like Sam Pittman a lot, and I think he's got as good a chance as anyone to get ahead in the right direction.
Barrett, last thing, Ohio State acts like it wants to join the SEC if the Big Ten can't come to a resolution about a football season. Where would they finish in the standings in 2020 in the SEC?
Oh, that's tough. Well, I don't know about 2020, but I can tell you in 2019, I watched them play several times, and I thought they were as tough as anyone in the SEC other than LSU. Just really impressed with their physicality. You know, generally when you get away from the SEC and you look at other leagues, the biggest difference is the trenches, particularly the defensive line. And, you know, Ohio State, obviously, they had Chase Young, but they had so many guys up front on both sides of the football that really I think they could have hung really well in the SEC last year. This year, you know, they lost a few guys, but still have a lot of players back. So I think they definitely could compete and possibly even win the SEC. I don't say that about many teams. But I'm just telling you, this Ohio State, it's a different breed of animal. They really have a ton of guys who are very tough and physical who will hit you in the mouth. And that's why they really were a few plays away last year. In a lot of ways, I actually called the game last year against Clemson. I thought they actually outplayed Clemson in a lot of ways there down the stretch and probably would have been a tougher matchup in some ways for LSU than Clemson was. But Trevor Lawrence, at the end of the day, just made too many plays down the stretch to get him through that game. But, I really impressed with Ohio. And not to mention, if you watch that game, there were a few breaks that really went against Ohio State that could have been, you know, calls either way that went against them. So I think they were a great team last year. And then this year, I think they'll probably be equally as good. So I think they really will compete.
That is high praise coming from Barrett Jones. No question about it. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. As always, stay safe. And we hope to be hearing you soon, man. Thank you.
You too, guys. Have a good one.
Yes, Barrett Jones, one of the greats there at Alabama, three-time national champ right here from the city of Memphis. Always appreciate his time on the show. We will come back. Lots more to come. We're on Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's game on, game Grizzlies. On.
Grizzlies fans.
Grant blows by Harris. Oh, look out below. Ja Morant just ripped the rim down right on top of Joe Harris. Are you kidding me, young fella? Get off the deck. My goodness, what a move by Ja Morant right there.
92.9 FM ESPN is the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. Game on, Grizzlies fans. Live on 92.9 FM ESPN and on radio.com.
Is there a room in your house that never seems to cool or heat the way you think it should? Then a Mitsubishi ductless system may be a solution for you. Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Ductless systems are relatively new to the United States, but Mitsubishi ductless systems are a proven energy saver because the system does not have any ductwork, so it can blow colder air in the summer and warmer air in the winter. Mitsubishi's inverter-driven compressors automatically adjust to your cooling or heating demands to deliver ideal comfort while only using the energy that is needed. No more, no less. Do you have a bonus room, sunroom, or master bedroom that never cools right? Maybe a new addition to your home or a garage you want heated or cooled. Now you can do it efficiently. Call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule your free estimate. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. We offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. We'll even bring it out curbside. Or you can have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Most people know that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser removes crayon and scuff marks from walls, but did you know it even cleans tough kitchen and bathroom messes that are sometimes tough to tackle? Just wet, squeeze, and erase gray soap scum on your bathtub. Erase cloudy hard water spots in your shower. Erase burnt on stovetop messes. So for all your tough kitchen and bathroom messes, try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Baby, it's all wrong. We are the players we made for two. Yeah, I know it's hard to remember.
Oh, we're back to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Ryan McDonough going to join us in the third hour. We'll talk to him about the bubble, about the Grizzlies as they resume action today. Obviously, lots of different scenarios as it relates to where they end up playing, no playing. I mean, there is a scenario where they don't even make the play-in, Jason. Correct. Believe it or not.
And it's a scenario that a lot of NBA folks are rooting for, at least Dwayne Wade and Shaq. I did not appreciate it last night to see them and Candace Parker. I'm going to throw her under the bus, too. Heck, Vince Carter was in on it. Pushing. Yep. Hoping for a Phoenix and a Portland series. Just kind of and look, they're, you know, with Jaren Jackson gone, they're like, okay, we've seen it from the Grizzlies. We'd rather see this hot Phoenix team that's undefeated in the bubble against a veteran Portland team. I get all that, but it wasn't nice to just be sort of counted out by them and not even in the picture. Grizzlies have got their destiny in front of them, man. They still control it at this point. Go out and get at least one win these last two between Boston and Milwaukee. You're at least in the play-in series with still a chance to hold on to eight if you really max out, go 2-0 here.
Yeah.
Eight if Portland loses, but you don't want to have to worry about Portland. And you see with San Antonio, John, the Rockets aren't even playing their guys tonight. This afternoon. So there's going to be a lot of that. You don't want to have to depend on these other teams not to lose when half the time that their opponents aren't even playing anybody at this point. Hopefully Boston gives you a break. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I believe Boston is favored pretty healthily, though, today, if I'm not mistaken. But at any rate, we'll get into that. A little bit later in the show. But just sort of bottom line, what we've been talking about all day here on the show, and I suspect what we'll be talking about all week, is the looming choice and the looming decision that these college football administrators have to make. And the latest comes to us from Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. And he reports that last night the Big Ten started talking about what teams would do in the fall if there was a spring season. And to a man, we talked to Barrett Jones, we talked to David Rudd. Nobody seems to endorse a spring season happening. And according to Pete Thamel, nobody in the Big Ten either did either because it got contentious as the bigger programs of the Big Ten want to play now. They don't want to play in the spring. They want to play now. And it got contentious. And Pat Forty adds that it was a coach's call with league administrators. And coaches were fired up because there were so many unknowns. Players are in limbo. And we talked about it before. I mean, the incentive for these guys to play in the spring is almost nil because you're so close to the NFL draft. You could just obviously go train with a specialist and focus on that exclusively rather than, you know, putting your body through an entire season of pain. And so I suspect that's what most top tier guys would do. And so what this definitely is starting to sort of set the stage for, Jason, is there will be fall football or there will be none.
It feels that way today. I will say at this hour, it does, just because we've heard so few. And I think it's because a lot of the focus is on, we think we can pull this off right now. We've just heard so few in terms of, saying that they're looking toward the spring, just so few endorsements of a spring season. And there's a variety of reasons, a number of which you just laid out. But, yes, John, today, right now, on August 11th, in this first hour, it feels like fall or nothing. Now, that said, you know, the virus is dictating a lot of this, like we realized. Now, the thing that hadn't changed really are the numbers, right? That's what we asked over the yesterday is what changed over the weekend? Is it certainly wasn't where we are with the virus. It seemed more like, okay, is this a question now that they'll have to face liability? Was it that report that came out about the heart? Was it myocarditis, about an enlarged heart? I think I've seen reports where there are at least five players going through that right now in the Big Ten, and the doctors get to the presidents and take out the football players and the actual coaches who obviously are fired up. Like we said, they're practicing right now. The doctors get to the presidents of the Big Ten who decide, you know what, that could be a liability issue, and maybe that's where we were. But again, I'd go back to it almost started with our interview with Dr. Rudd yesterday. It felt like the reports were this thing's done. Like Big Ten going to start, it's going to start the dominoes, Pac-12 going to do what they do, and everything will fall after that. And no way, like with Feinbaum said, that the SEC could go out on its own. How would you do a college football playoff? That everything would fold up. We get on the phone with Dr. Rudd in the interview, and it shocked us, John. It certainly did me. I said as much in terms of just how, optimistic, how in terms of now there hasn't really been any new information, no reason for us to change. We heard the same thing from Oresco later on in the day over on Giannotto and Jeffrey, and that's where it kind of turned, and it started right there. And so, who's listening to who at this point,
Right.
Because it feels like no one's on the same page. You're getting your information. You're making your decision based on a different set of doctors in every conference. Our own medical advisory board is telling us something different than what the MACs told theirs, what the Big Ten told theirs. And so, yes, it goes back to you're just looking around and trying to see who's still standing. Well, right now it feels like everyone is. And yes, John, the longer this goes, because, again, if they're sticking to the script, you feel like a 9:30 meeting of presidents in the Big Ten would result in a pretty quick answer of, hey, we're staying put, we're canceling or postponing the season. That said, here we are, approaching the noon hour, nothing's come out yet. You just wonder again if that blowback, if those coaches, if those players were the thing yesterday that got everyone to say, well, listen, our medical advisory is telling us something different. We're going to go forward. It feels like that's where we are, John, is, yes, to get back to your point, no spring because we're going to play it right now. We'll see because, like we said yesterday, this stuff is literally changing from minute to minute. We all want the season. We want it safely done. And right now, most of these conferences feel like they can get it done, at least from the football coach's standpoint. I just wonder, John, we've seen numbers from some of these coaches, and we've seen coaches like Saban say, hey, you're safer here in our program. Barrett Jones just said, of course, they've got millions to throw at. That ain't every program, John, that's got that situation that Alabama does. We realize that's the cream of the crop. But is it like that everywhere? Are the case numbers in a place where you're comfortable everywhere with the number of positives on your team that you feel like it's safe to move forward? Because we've seen UCF isn't practicing right now. UCF is basically in a halt mode right now because they feel like, okay, slowly maybe we get here to a season, but there's no need to rush it. So safety protocol, we're going to shut down right now in terms of the practices. So, again, it's hard to keep up with everybody because they're all doing different things. And, again, listening to different boards, who's making the decisions. Ultimately, I guess it's up on the presidents, and that's why it feels like maybe it's, as we thought yesterday, it's going to start with the Big Ten, but it doesn't necessarily feel like we're headed for this this sort of ending of college football in 2020 like it did yesterday. It feels like, John, some of those Big Ten presidents, that was enough yesterday to at least shake things up and say, wait a minute, maybe we better take another look at this, at the least, if they don't decide, we're going to go ahead and go. I feel like now it could turn the other way, John, from the Big Ten.
Well, nothing would surprise me. Like, no decision would surprise me at this point. But one of the more interesting pieces of Pete Thamel's tweet is that this was one of the first conversations they've had about spring. Like, today.
How is that? Night. Right.
Last
How
night.
Is that? How do you not have plan A, plan B? And even if you're focused on plan A and you think you can pull it off, wouldn't you have at least given some thought, some credence to plan B and put a little? Again, I'm not telling you got to have the whole thing planned out, but you'd have sort of a fallback plan. Isn't that something that, just fundamentally you look to have? And that's why I've been so surprised at sort of the thought of nah, and not even going to think too much about it. Because it just doesn't feel like there's been much thought into or planning put into one. And again, I'd ask you, sure, NFL draft, you're going to lose a layer of the top players in college football, But and I'll say this. Barrett asked, and it's a valid question, what will be different in the spring? Well, here's the thing, John. You talked about that saliva test. We talked about that with Rudd. Could you be in a position? I'll just ask it this way, devil's advocate. Forget the Power Five. Let's look at Memphis. We just talked about how disappointing it was all around here that they're looking at a situation right now where maybe they can only get 4,000 in there to watch a football game. Could you be in a different situation in the spring, John, where, yes, you're battling other sports. Who knows what the television contracts, Rudd mentioned that, set that to the side, but where you could at least, for a Memphis that needs those fans in stands, could you be at a point where you've got more of them? You know, and maybe that's as a result of saliva tests, maybe it's a result of where the numbers are, but could you be in a position in the spring where at least, and where it really matters is places like Memphis, you could get more butts in seats to watch? Is that not a bit of an incentive for spring football? Not to mention safety and all that said. Could you not at least hope to get more butts in seats come that time?
Yes.
Sure you could, right?
This pandemic is not going to last forever. This is not going to be an eternal pandemic.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.